Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Fiscal Analyst Relations Speaker Series conference call. My name is Cherelle, and I will be your facilitator for today. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. However, we will conduct a question-and-answer session towards the end of this conference, at which time you may press star one to ask questions. If at any time during the call you require assistance, please key star followed by zero, and an operator will be happy to assist you. I would now like to turn the presentation over to your host, Amy Poon, with the Analyst Relations Group. You may proceed.
Greetings, everyone. This is Amy Poon in the Analyst Relations Group, and welcome to our Analyst Relations Speaker Series teleconference call focusing on WAN optimization market. In today's teleconference, we will provide a snapshot of the WAN optimization market and Cisco's latest customer momentum. We will outline market trends and customer challenges that are driving the growing need for WAN optimization solutions. In addition, two Cisco customers will share their experience with Cisco Wide Area Application Services solutions and WAN optimization in general, and explain their business requirements. After the presentation, we will have a question and answer period. The operator will poll participants on the phone line for any questions you may have. We will also use this time to address questions we have received. In advance of the call. Please note that we will be sending out a short survey to all participants following the call, and we wish to thank you in advance for providing your candid feedback. Today's presenter is Mark Weiner. Mark is Director of Product Marketing, Application Network Services at Cisco Systems, focusing on Cisco application delivery technologies. I would like to now to turn this call over to Mark.
Thank you, Amy, very much, and good morning to everybody on the phone. Thanks for joining us today. So I have with us as well Urshit Parekh, who is our product line manager for the Wide Area Application Services, or WAS, product line. So he and I will be sharing with you first a few of the buying trends that we're seeing from our customers. I know many vendors speak pretty regularly about some of the core industry trends. We're going to speak in a little more detail about some of the things we're seeing and hearing from our customers, what our partners are experiencing around the world as we really have brought this product line to market over the last 10 or so months. Then I'd like to thank in advance the couple of customers that will be the bulk of our call and will share their real-time experience with you. We have Joe Kramer from the Missouri Court System, as well as Chris Thompson from Petro-Canada. So a couple of leading IT folks from really different sectors, both public and private. We'll share with you some of the business challenges, the IT challenges, and what they've seen with Cisco WAS. We're definitely going to leave some time on the back end for some Q&A, so you can hit us with your questions, inquiries, etc. And then we'll share just a little bit on upcoming series, Amy will, on the back end. So with that, I'd like to start on slide number 3 and share a little bit on some of the buying criteria that we've seen. And as I mentioned, there's a number of global trends that, you know, we can share with you. We do in a lot of our keynotes in industry conferences. I know a lot of other vendors in this tightly growing WAN optimization space do as well. Ongoing globalization expansion of remote workforces. We certainly see that from our customers. The number of branch offices being expanded around the world. We, again, certainly see that. Challenges of consolidation of that same infrastructure. How do you put less as you put out more branches? Certainly we are seeing those. The ongoing webification and service orientation of applications. Certainly these are things we're seeing. Discreetly, what a few of our customers, actually a number of our customers tell us as we've done survey after survey with our own customers, both after our 150 user beta program, as well as now with the volume of customers we've built over the last 10 months. What you see on slide 3 are a few of the things that our customers tell us. We looked at a range of solutions. Here is why. Given our sectors or our challenges, you know, we picked the Cisco solution. Number one we found interesting really was around TCO, both for branch and for data center. Right, with WAN optimization as a whole, one of the key plays there is how can you reduce the cost of ownership of your IT infrastructure in the branch? You know, how can you save bandwidth? How can you reduce the cost of backup, consolidation of remote servers you have to manage at 25,000 plus per unit? But interestingly enough, we still found that the cost of comparing one WAN optimization solution to another actually was still, you know, an impactful piece of purchase criteria. Capabilities like Can I flip it again into my router? Can I reduce power? Can I manage a reduced set of support contracts? Things like that. Additionally, if I consolidate my servers into the branch, what is going to be the impact on the servers? Can I reduce the number of servers just because I take them out of the branch into the data center? What's the hit and things on them? So we've seen an amount of analysis on that done by customers.
Yeah. I think there is two levels at which that discussion happens. Mark, I think the first one is just from a branch infrastructure, how is my solution turning out to be better? In other words, for the branch managed acceleration solution. So in other words, am I adding yet another appliance? Can I go ahead and have, what is my support cost situation? How many servers am I replacing? Am I replacing only five, or am I replacing five printed software distribution video offering? Most others barely just remove your file server from the branch. And then the fourth point being, when I replace these branch office servers, how many servers do I need to add back in the data center?
Exactly.
Do I add 200 servers back when I replace 500 in the branch, or do I add 50 back? So that is one criteria by which people look at TCO. Another criteria by which people, especially the senior management on the infrastructure side at our customers, looks at TCO, really end up going on, hey, what is the cost of delivering all the services in the branch? We had recently a CIO kind of come in and say, hey, I just opened up this tiny office in Dubai, and before I could hire the first analyst there, we had to spend $300,000 on equipment. And what was that? Well, yes, we have these routers, and we need RAN accelerators, but we also need the voice over IP, the IP telephony stuff, we need all the wireless controllers. And essentially his point was that, that's the big reason why I'm kind of wanting to come back and look at you guys, because while I have kind of gone best of breed on the branch infrastructure with a bunch of these other vendors, if I can deploy the ISR with a bunch of these services integrated right in, my cost, of just the CapEx cost, is 70% lower, and the OpEx cost is 70% lower.
So ongoing trend, again, we've seen from customers, and I'm sure you've seen it as well, TCO and integration in the branch. A key criteria here, jumping down just to that third point, we've seen this time and time again as well, is impact on VoIP and quality of service deployments. And customer after customer, you can see Nanometrics listed on there. Actually, there was a great story that the customer spent time with Network World and put out, covered that in depth. But we've had customer after customer literally either test and say, what's the impact on my VoIP, and I will use that as purchase criteria. We've even had customers, Nanometrics being one, that actually had early adoption of WAN optimization and actually took it out based on the impact it had on their voice network. And in this case, tested again, replaced it with Cisco. So another thing, again, we're finding, we talk about transparency. We know, different vendors use it in different ways in marketing. But impact on voice, and you can see on the bottom as well, impact on security really has been some key determining purchase criteria for us. The fourth point there, which we found, again, that's really early in the stages still as far as adoption criteria or purchase criteria, is also impact on security in the branch. And we say overall security, both what impact does it have on the existing security you have or have in process for your branch, whether it's firewalls, whether it is intrusion protection, what impact do you have on the existing entry security into the branch, and importantly and secondarily, what impact do you have as far as putting extra data that you need to secure in the branch when you're trying to consolidate it out for compliance, for data protection, or for other reasons? So you can see down there we've got a number of customers, both in healthcare and finance, as a couple of verticals in particular, where security is, or impact on, has been a major piece of purchasing criteria as well. And the customers today will speak a little more to that as well. Moving to slide four, just in the interest of time, just want to give you a little data and some snapshots as to some of the things, again, we're seeing, what kinds of adoption customers are using these solutions for. And as we've seen really from when we first announced and brought the product, the full-featured product, to market in September, about half are used really for some versions of branch consolidation, whether that is, and what's interesting here, it can be taking everything we can out of the branch. As Urshit mentioned, how can you consolidate as much as possible? In other cases, it's discrete components. Perhaps it is storage, again, for compliance or data protection versus pure cost of ownership. Sometimes it's more. We'll take actually our file servers out, but we still need to keep some other user and directory services within the branch. So that really varies. Another nearly half are purely around either accelerating applications that were centralized previously or wholesale. We're adding new applications and we're going to be upfront and accelerate that at the same time we deploy the app, which speaks to the bottom bullet of slowly moving. We see the technology slowly moving from hitting pain points such as consolidating an application and finding out the performance impact to being actually, we're starting to see, and Ursha, we all welcome any feedback, starting to see customers move to be more strategic as they actually roll out WAN optimization, looking not just at today's pain point, but strategies for application deployment 12, 24, 36 months.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that probably you will have Chris from Petro Canada touch upon will potentially end up being, you know, the point on how the reason you need to look at this thing in a strategic manner is because you know, the whole interplay between WAN acceleration and security kind of becomes a fact where if I'm getting WAN acceleration, am I getting it at the expense of securing the traffic and the security features that I already rolled out or not? And so, you know, you pretty much these things, several customers can kind of come back to us and say, hey, we started looking at these things kind of out at the silo level, but now we need to look at the overall solution architecture in the network and what are the various services that we are delivering and how do they actually work well with each other and how best they complement each other and then what's the cost like. You don't want one thing to break the other kind of thing.
Right. And just to those middle points there on slide 4 about criteria varies by IT buying center, I think that is very much the case as well. When we see it, particular projects, let's say from a storage team or a file server team, you'll actually have it a little more still, as you can imagine, in a silo versus when it's either teed up by a line of business application team or by a broader networking team. I think we're starting to get a little more of this big picture architectural view. What is the impact on security? What's the impact on overall application performance? Some interesting feedback, again, as we've surveyed our customers, we've actually seen some third-party surveys come out last week as well. We'll speak to that on the next slide a little bit, about the overall push much more for general application performance improvement, and that's growing, versus impact on one or two discrete applications. So that varies a lot by vertical sector. Looking at, moving to slide 5, just on that point about application specificity, again, what we've seen, and we've seen this, all of us, Ursha, as we talk to the customers, we've really seen growing probably is how can you generally impact the performance of applications. While we certainly see specific pain areas as those listed right here, and it's interesting, certainly a lot of us have seen that exchange, file transfer been two of the initial purchase criteria for WAN optimization, a much more growing base of how can you impact a broader set of applications is one of the trends we see with our customers. Interesting as well is like Citrix. One of the customers we've actually been doing some announcements with, Fulton Financial, a multi-billion dollar retail and commercial banking firm, have already done a lot of data center consolidation, have centralized their servers, heavy use of Citrix, still experiencing performance challenges, in this case not with Citrix for their mainstream applications, but for printing mortgage applications as they centralize out to their users as they're sitting waiting in the branch to submit their mortgages. Putting in WAN optimization and WAS while improving their overall Citrix apps, 70 to 80% performance improvement for this issue in this case of actually printing application. So as we talk about, again, how much can you centralize and consolidate and what's the impact? Interesting particular example there. As some of the customers will speak about in a little bit as well, a whole range of imaging applications, again, when we say about application-specific pain points we've seen, be it manufacturing and CAD-CAM, such as a small firm we announced with back in September, RSNH, again, in this case, had localized engineering applications in all of their 30, 40 branch offices and actually weren't going to consolidate them given the nature of their business. So other medical imaging, certainly PACS, the compliance issues around HIPAA, et cetera, in the healthcare market, we've seen a lot of interest and a number of healthcare firms certainly have leveraged that, and then just a broader range of imaging. And then finally, as pain area, we see a lot of, again, as part of a broader WAN optimization deployment is also backup. Just a couple other trend points so we can give some time back for our customers to speak with you. Interesting data point we've seen, really we've looked at this in about the last 30 days, just because we've seen the roadmap is around roadmap, we've seen what other vendors are saying, we've seen what some of the industry folks are saying, and that's around soft client support. And we've actually even had discussions here in the last, again, you know, 15, 30 days. Certainly, Ursha?
Yeah, we've been working on that for much longer than that, but what has been pretty underwhelming in the last 15 or 30 days is as we take, you know, the products to to beta and kind of get a sense on the customer demand on whether you'd like to test our soft client. It's kind of underwhelming to find that a lot of the customers are basically telling us, hey, today when I'm doing my van acceleration purchase, right, we basically have the branch infrastructure team and the application teams kind of working together with us. And what we found pretty stunning was that, yes, it's good to know that you have this on the roadmap and it's coming. The reason customers aren't jumping to sort of test it out is because when you have to add the van acceleration client, besides the application team and the van infrastructure team, now you need to bring in the desktop infrastructure team as well as the remote access or the VPN teams into the discussion on the purchase and the vendor and things like that. And so that's just been an interesting thing where we'd like it to ramp up faster, but we don't see that kind of coming as fast as we'd like from a revenue perspective.
So just as we set out with you, speak a little bit about industry trends and things we're seeing. That was actually of interest to us as well, is this kind of lukewarm, at least at the moment. It's great that it's on your roadmap, but lukewarm feedback from customers today, given, again, IT ownership of the desktop, TCO challenge of managing that, et cetera. And just on that was slide 5, on slide 6 as well, not to belabor the point, but it's interesting, a survey firm, and we actually, Cisco was not involved, there were no market sponsors. This was independent research done, was published last week, you may have seen it. But interesting as well, the data point there, you can see the numbers, surveying 130 IT managers at different levels and different size firms, came back with very, very similar feedback. So I guess that's why I wanted to share it with you. It's just that's a trend we're seeing now from multiple sources, customers, independent surveys, et cetera. So just something to think about as you look at and forecast the market over the next coming quarters. To wrap up on slide 7, just a few other criteria as well as requests we've seen and heard from our customers and that Cisco certainly is actively working on. We certainly see, and you've heard that as well, router integration is of great interest to our customers. Talked about purchasing criteria. Certainly we've seen very, very strong interest. As a data point, over half the branches that deploy Cisco WAS do it with a router module, with the NME as we call it technically. Over half. And 45%+ of all WAS units sold are router blades for the ISR. A few things customers have been requesting of us, and I'm sure probably of other vendors as well, increased scalability. Enterprises want to go, as we said, from hitting discrete pain points to organization-wide services, a default service essentially in the network we see over the next 1 to 2 years. So certainly system performance and scalability, but also broad manageability, as well as broad levels of resiliency versus, hey, I need to optimize a link from San Francisco to Bangalore and New York to Sao Paulo, Brazil. So certainly different areas around scalability and manageability. Another key point they've brought up to us, and mentioned that across the industry really as a whole, is getting better application visibility. What impact is this WAN optimization investment really having on applications? How can I really tell what my end user sitting at the other end is actually seeing? How much improvement am I getting? How can I show ROI? How can I also better tune my WAN optimization to really improve what the end user is experiencing? So another area the customer said, we need to get more granular. How can you get accurate, trusted, reliable results? We're happy to take any questions on that later. And finally, again, another area Cisco's investing time in is on the service provider. A lot of interest, and it's early still, but on managed services. And there's a specific set of requirements, certainly, that the service provider community is asking us for. We listed some of those items there below as well. Quickly, how do you install it quickly, given obviously the forces that the service provider has to do that? How can you actually monitor it? And overall, manageability and cost of operating it. So again, things we are certainly looking at and trends we're seeing from adoption of that. So with that, just moving to slide 8, I'd like to obviously share, we did an announcement a couple of weeks ago. We actually crossed our 1,000th customer milestone with WAS after being 10 months in the market, something we're very happy with here at Cisco. And without actually much further ado, would like to introduce our first of these many customers, thank them for their time here as well. I'd like to introduce Joe Kramer from the Missouri Court System, who can share his hands-on experience and his own criteria and business objectives. So, Joe, thank you very much, and please share what you have with our listeners here.
All righty. Can everyone hear me all right that can answer back?
Yep.
Okay. When we first looked at WAS, we were after one basic thing, and that was server consolidation. Here in Missouri courts, we've got 130-plus locations, most of them in rural Missouri, within 3 to 4 hour drive from where we're located in Jefferson City. So our big problem was when a server went down, it took us a day to build a box to replace it, and then we had to drive down there to replace it, and the users are down in effect for 2 days in the process. So we wanted to speed up that process and then consolidate some applications and some file servers in the process. We've already consolidated one of our main applications, and all the users pretty much, they experienced a slowdown on it. It was a database application. And then in the end, wanted to remove the remainder of those file services that were out in the courts after that. And we could also better utilize our SANs that we have in our two data centers and increase the uptime. And I guess our last criteria was we wanted the system to be centrally managed. In the process of all this, we started looking at a couple of different vendors, and we found that some of our other requirements became that we wanted transparency on the network. We've got a decent investment in CSMARS, IPS. We use NetFlow all over the network for accounting information on packets. And we have QoS throughout our network. And we didn't want to have to rewrite all that or shell it out. Some of that you just couldn't replace after you put in some of the WAS devices. One of our other problems is in the courthouses, we have a lot of historic courthouses in the state, and they're running out of room. So in every courthouse, we've got a rack on the wall that houses a router and a switch, and then on the floor we've got a server rack taking up space. And we found that in some of the solutions, we'd be able to put all of our equipment back up on that rack on the wall and free up the 3x5 area or better of floor space that the court could then take back for filing or for users to actually occupy. They don't have, in historic courthouses, they can't add on, they can't do a lot of remodeling. Some of them are listed in historic registries. So what we can actually modify in the building is limited. Some of them, power issues are pretty prevalent. So in the case of the Cisco device, where we could actually put the unit in our router, and removing a server with different power requirements, we actually helped their overall power consumption and reduced the need for what we have there. And in the end, looking at the Cisco solution, we found that we'd have 100-plus courts out of 130 locations that we would be able to put everything up on the wall. In the process of looking at all this, we were already going to the ISRs, the Cisco 2800 routers. We were in year two of a 3-year upgrade on that, so we were close on everything we needed there. And we found that the internal device, like they just discussed previously, would give us a break on ongoing maintenance. Once we put the internal in, it became covered by the original device. And we're also looking at overall, we evaluated a couple of different vendors on WAS, and we would prefer to not have another completely new vendor that we're not familiar with in our network. We already used HP and Cisco, and we evaluated at the time what was HP's product, which I believe was a OEM version of Riverbed. So we looked at that, and in the end came up with a Cisco solution. One of the big things, we were looking at other implementations down the road, and we are interested in a smaller solution. So bucking industry trends there, we're interested in a client-based or a SOHO-type solution for WAS. So we'll see what the industry has to bring us on that. other than that, like I said, we've been pretty happy with the Cisco product and are able to drop it into our network with very little change to the way we do business. I believe that's all I have for now, unless anyone has any comments on that.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you, Joe, for sharing your experience, challenging building codes and power requirements in the legacy courthouses aside. And listeners here, feel free, again, to ask Joe any questions when we open up for Q&A in a few minutes. Great. With that, Chris, maybe you can share a little feedback on your experience with WAS. I imagine with Petro-Canada, your issue is not power requirements. It's more supplying power.
Thanks, Mark. I think Petro-Canada itself has used these optimized patient products for a number of years. When they initially started appearing on the market, we grabbed a few and threw them at particular problems we had with satellite communications out to North Sea oil rigs and some out-of-the-way places in the Sahara Desert. Had a lot of success with them. Had some challenges with regards to deploying those on the network, on the larger capacity sites, just purely because of the way the licensing works, and when you start getting up around the tens of megs and the sort of E3 circuits, then the license every year that comes through seems to be a bit of it hits your return on investment, shall we say, and especially when you can come across, you find that you can log into the larger bandwidth, you can maybe get bandwidth cheaper than actually deploying these products. So our initial deployment on the wide area waned for a few years, and eventually the maintenance came up for renewal, so we decided to look again because more people have come to the market with different products. And we're actually still, it's been 6 months now, but we're actually still in the process of making our mind up as to what we're going to do. We're doing some pretty intensive testing on these products. Initially, we picked four vendors we shortlisted four vendors after doing a bit of a pretty wide sweep of all the products that are out there. And we're now sitting down with those products in our test labs, and we're pushing through the applications and the products that we see the pain every day, trying to make these things work either in out-of-the-way places or at places where there's actually limited bandwidth availability, or the distance is just causing the latency issues that we see. So we're testing these four products. They're all very different. Everyone seems to have approached the problem in a slightly different way. Some work in some areas better than others, and vice versa for the other products. But we've not seen a best buy, as it were. So what we're having to do is really tailor down to the way in which we're going to use this product and what we're trying to achieve, and try and find the best fit. And I think that would be something I'd encourage anyone to do, to make sure that you choose the device that works for your particular application. Don't just choose the one that has the 5 stars in the magazine, because it may not actually do you any favors in the way you deploy it. But the good news is a lot of these things work very well, and we're definitely going to be deploying something. We just need to make sure we're choosing the right thing. And one of the criteria, as was mentioned earlier, that we eventually approached this as from a technology point of view, is how can we make everything better for everyone by putting these products in. And as always, we have to run it past the security guys here, and both the infrastructure security are dealing with the physical deployment of hardware and physical anti-X type application that we have, but also we have an InfoSec department that looks at the intellectual properties and how we're protecting our own knowledge and protecting the interests of our customers and our employees. And they had two conflicting issues. The first, the infrastructure guys were concerned that if we deployed these products where we were originally thinking of deploying them, that it would thwart all of their anti-X technologies. And so basically they were saying, no, we want it outside of the firewall. We don't want you tunneling through the firewall. We want to be able to see who's talking to who, what they're talking, where they're coming from, where they're going. And these products obviously not destroy, but they alter those traffic streams substantially. And even with the header visibility, et cetera, turned on, it can cause some problems. And again, deploying those things to make sure those problems don't arise is key. So they were saying put it on the outside of the firewall. The InfoSec guys were saying, hang on, you said this product had a cache in it. We don't want that on the outside of a firewall. So we've been had to do some work with those guys to make sure that they understand what that cache actually contained. And we're slowly bringing the guys around to thinking that, okay, this isn't such a big risk. But I still will probably not be deploying this on an internet-facing circuit just for now. Initially, we're looking to deploy these on our wide area network, our private line services. The other concerns that we have is that we're going through, we've deployed an MPLS network in Europe in our international business, and that's been working quite well for a number of years. We're just starting to really ramp up and tune the class of service on that and push it into the LAN. We're doing similar activities here in Canada this year with a new MPLS network. And again, the issue that we've had is the visibility. We're investing a lot of time and money into class of service to support voice and video and financial transaction traffic, licensing traffic, and the general applications that day-to-day use. And a lot of these products destroy that. They tunnel, or you can't see the source and destination. Some will maintain the bit setting markings on the packets, others don't. So it's difficult to make sure to get a balance of the products that are trying to address all of these are conflicting sometimes issues. So that's why we're really focusing on testing these products in our labs and really trying to make sure that when we actually put something out there, it's actually going to be of benefit. It's actually going to bring the most benefit to the most people while still maintaining and keeping our security teams happy and warm and fuzzy. And it's even from a particular point of view, we've found that not all of the vendors actually understand perhaps what their products are doing. I'm sure there's one or two guys in white coats somewhere that know it inside out, but from the support side, we've had varying levels of support from each of the vendors. We've seen software bugs. We've seen protocols just not being optimized at all when the literature says it does. Cisco doesn't actually fall into that pot, I'll just confirm. But NFS is a good example, and NFS transfer, a lot of the products don't actually address that. And some actually make the NFS transfer worse. May save on the bandwidth, but if you're looking for a latency or trying to accelerate the transfer, then that's not going to happen. And we've had a few gotchas like that, which we've had to make a note of. And once we've totted all the scores up at the end of the test, then we'll be in a position to make our selection. We have had a certain amount of success deploying Cisco WAS technology, and we've got some replication going on and doing that between two of our sites. But we need to be sure that putting the WAS product in that same environment is actually going to provide the benefits, and that goes right across the whole product range. But we're definitely keen on the technology. We know we need to be doing it, but at the moment we're undecided as to which product is actually going to be best suiting our needs. And one of the reasons for doing this was to make sure we get one product across the whole enterprise. We didn't want to go down the bed. I've got multiple projects all saying we need this technology. look, I can just go and buy the riverbed products, I can go buy the juniper products, all of an FI product. I don't want to go there. I don't want to have five different products distributed out through our network. And I'd like to get the one. Might not be the best at everything, but it will be the one that meets the most requirements that we have. And with regards to the software client, we've got maybe bucking trends, but we've got a massive demand for that. We in Canada have over 1,600 gas stations, which are becoming more and more IT aware. We have all sorts of point of sale, credit card transactions, and there's a lot of all the products we use for setting the gas prices. That is a backwards and forwards type data flows, stock control, flows and levels, safety measurements, and all of this runs out of a very small area, back stuck in the back of each of our petrol stations, in addition on the roof, and software client sitting on a PC would really be a nice to have, especially if we can integrate it with our existing technology. Again, we do use a product already. It does its job. It does what it says on the tin. Maybe in a slightly rough and ready way, but it does work. But we would be keen to take a more mainstream product to help us out at our gas stations. There's an order for 1,600 of them if it's something that works and integrates well with the technologies we're using to support our wide area network.
Hey Chris, thank you. Thank you very much. I can see again a little difference between where you supply the power versus where in some of your older buildings one burns the power.
I definitely appreciate the candid assessment in terms of all the considerations, and I think really thank you for actually bringing to the surface all the various considerations that that you need to take to ensure that you can do an enterprise-wide technology deployment or something like this. I think that is what we're seeing as very common and very typical that the thought leader customers were driving the purchase market. So thanks for kind of getting into the details of what the decision-making process.
Great, folks. So before we, just as we open it up here for a Q&A to our listeners, a point that we brought up back in about the middle of our slides on the Cisco side was really this technology is starting to cross the chasm, not to quote Mr. Moore, but to cross the chasm, folks looking at it from just discrete pain points. And maybe it was in this case I mentioned, one customer was Citrix printing problems and the challenges it, gave to their own end customers. But we're starting to see that now really go. We see 24 to 30 months perhaps, you probably have your own estimates, as this technology is really starting to move mainstream and organization-wide. So that's some candid feedback here from one of our customers that's looking at this very deeply. And I think it really supports where the technology is going as we want to talk to you about trends and things. So with that, thank you to our moderator here, if we can open this up. For questions, and Amy, if you can help facilitate that, we'll attempt to give you our most honest, open answers here.
Great. Just want to take a moment again to thank Mark and our customer guests, Joe and Chris. So at this time, operator, can you please poll the audience for questions?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask questions, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to withdraw your question, press star 2. Please press star 1 to begin. There are no questions at this time from the line.
Okay, so since there are no questions, I'd like to ask one that I've received in advance. We're starting to hear some talk about soft clients for line optimization. What is Cisco's thoughts on this, and more importantly, customers' thoughts?
So, this is Ocean, and I'll go ahead and take that question. We absolutely see the need for it. We really think that, if you look at the productivity-driven ROI for managed acceleration, the client ends up basically the client functionality, or the acceleration functionality is something that's clearly needed. We are sort of seeing this was saying one of the things is that you're seeing it's kind of in the early stages on the planning side. In other words, if we're finding a lot of our customers have already allocated the budgets for, say, purchasing the appliances, the budget allocation for purchasing the plant isn't sort of there as yet, and so we expect that over the next 12 months or so, we will end up having a lot of the testing and the vendor selection and you know, interoperability with the various VPN devices and things like that happen. But I think we absolutely see the need for it, and you know, we have our own plans, and this is on our own plan as well.
Right, and just to add to that a little bit as well, I think one of the other things we're seeing, while there's certainly interest, I'd say in this case it's one area where the vendor community may be a little bit ahead of some of the buying community, even with regard to IT organizations. Control of the desktop versus typical purchasing areas for the WAN optimization appliances, be it general networking in a more strategic way, or reactive way, or an application team, or even a storage team, very different often than the team that owns the desktop and has to manage clients, both uploading and managing. So again, I think some things that probably need to be transitioned over the next several quarters through the buying audiences.
Yeah, hopefully I think the ramp up or the rate at which the client gets adopted will be faster than the rate at which the amount of time it took for the appliance business to ramp up. We're hoping that the client business kind of ramps up faster, simply because now, you know, there's a lot less skepticism about the technology and the claims as to what kind of performance gains we can give them.
Great.
Great. Well, thanks for the answer. Operator, can you pull the audience to see if there are any questions?
We have a question from the line of Wuzo of IDC. You may proceed.
Hi, yes. Thank you very much. I have a question for both Joe and Chris quickly. What role, if any, do you interact with the services side, the consulting and architectural design service side of Cisco, and if those kind of involvement has been helpful, instrumental in terms of helping you design and plan your strategies?
Joe, do you want to go first?
All right. Well, as far as consulting and design, my local systems engineers provided all the assistance through him or through other Cisco engineers that he can contact. They brought in a couple engineers out of St. Louis for us to work with us for a day, but we haven't contracted with anyone to actually come in and help us set it up. We're doing it all in-house.
Yeah, David. Petro, we've obviously been engaging the support of RSEs from Cisco, and to help us to make sure we are getting the most out of the product and we are deploying it in the correct way. Again, we probably do need to continue to talk to them and find out where people are placing these devices within the network. I'm keen to put them as close to the data sources and as close to the users as possible. But as I say, the issues we've got with our security comms are having to push it towards the edge of the network.
Does that answer your question?
Sure. Yeah, that's definitely helpful. It sounds like then that you're engaging Cisco when you have specific questions, but not on an overall roadmap design phase. Is that correct?
Probably correct at the moment. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, to put things into perspective, we find this is ownership that about 20% of the WAS customers have actively engaged the Cisco Advanced Services organization, and most of the other customers are actually choosing either to do the deployments themselves, or actually what works is in majority of the situations we have our partner community, which is kind of trained and actually has been investing a lot in WAS. So one of the things you will see is that as we go into Cisco's next fiscal year, all the Cisco Gold routing partners, basically that accounts for partners that sell about 80% of our WAN routers, to renew the routing certifications are required to undergo and develop expertise in WAS and pass a bunch of WAS exams and things like that. So I think we as a company recognize that the only way we end up scaling is if we can empower both our channel partners as well as our customers to be able to do these things and not necessarily have to kind of rely on Cisco for even solution design and architectures and things like that.
Key focus for the business unit over the next fiscal year coming up in a few weeks.
Great. Thank you. And just a quick follow-up again for Joan, because how important a consideration is either the support or service, professional services side of Cisco in terms of your deciding and choosing a solution?
I think that we've got a good, Petro-Canada has a good working relationship with Petro-Canada. They're always there for us when we're looking to look at new technologies or we're deploying existing ones. If we've got any problems, they're always keen to help us. I think maybe the characteristics of this particular technology don't necessarily warrant a lot of support. Obviously, we need to get the thing set up. We need to make sure it's operating correctly. But certainly from our point of view, once we're happy, if we do proceed with the Cisco product, then we'll be looking to roll this out to as many sites as we can. Be more around who's got the biggest pains at the moment, and we'll hit those guys first, and then we'll be eventually getting around to everybody. So I don't see the need for hours and hours of support, but obviously if we have a problem or if we have a new protocol that we need to get some help with, we'd like those guys there to see us through.
Thank you, Rajat,
for the question. Operator, would you please pull the audience again?
Yes, ma'am, thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask questions, you may press star 1. And our next question comes from the line of Rand Zubek of Communications Network. You may proceed.
This is Frank Zubek, Communications Network Architect. My question has to do with the fact that this is for Cisco.
Frank, I think we lost you.
Frank must be on a non-Cisco voice over IP phone.
Okay, and our next question comes from the line of Robin Leland of Leland Consulting. You may proceed.
I've got a question for Chris. You were mentioning that you're having a lot of problems with security people about the placement of these devices. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that? Because I know transparency lets you see the header, but a lot of security is doing deep packet inspection, and these accelerations kind of interfere with that. So do you have any insight on how you think you're going to resolve this?
Well, for now, as I say, we're not going to be placing it on any internet-facing access. It will only be on internal WAN connections that we see as secure and private. And we do actually firewall those still, so we are working with the security teams they're in the process of re-engineering and rethinking some of their security thoughts. We're trying to get down the path of ensuring that the network is seen as a transport mechanism. It's not a security policing point. If we can get them to move in that direction, then we will place these devices at the WAN router as it places the data onto the network, and then be looking to use our policy enforcement points in front of our users and in front of the data that they are trying to access. So at the moment, we would have to place the device on the outside of our firewall, and that then causes an issue with the WAFS portion of the Cisco product at the moment because of the tunneling that it does. So we're trying to circumvent that by working with our security teams to try and architect our security a little bit more up to date and to be putting a ring around the data, around the portions that that do need defending, rather than the sort of shotgun approach at the moment with firewalls all over the place. So at the moment, we will have to place it outside of our firewalls, but in the next 6 to 9 months, we'll be re-architecting our environment to allow us to place them more centrally in the core.
As a follow-up,
plug for Cisco solution that just is coming out literally next week. Essentially to be able to do, so some of the things that customers told us is, hey, we want to be able to kind of go ahead and do the intrusion prevention needs packet inspection. You want to be able to do the firewalls. You want to be able to have the WAN acceleration, but again, if the disk is lost, we don't want to compromise on the security of the traffic. And so, essentially, we've kind of worked to have a router integrated packet flow with the Cisco Intrusion Prevention IPS, the Cisco IOS firewall, and have added disk encryption to WAS. And as I said, this gets announced in a big way next week and is going to, I see Mark rolling his eyes and I'm kind of adding a preview to that discussion, but that is one of those things that we're very actively working on. Also, the second thing I do want to highlight here is that, I think Chris alluded to the point that, for the CIFS protocol, Cisco does have a tunnel. And this is kind of go ahead and show that, say, of the 200-odd protocol policies that we ship, we have a tunnel for only one, and removing that has been an excruciating task, and we'll end up removing it pretty soon. But in contrast, if you had a product which was tunneling for all 200 applications and not just one, then just fundamentally removing the tunnel is much more difficult, and it kind of signifies the challenges that you see. Once kind of a tunnel comes into your solution architecture, removing it is just so much more work.
Great, and Frank, were you able to get back on?
He has not rejoined the queue as of yet.
Thanks for your question, Robin.
Operator, is there any additional questions in the queue?
There are no additional questions from the phone lines at this time. However, ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, you may ask questions by pressing star 1.
Well,
okay, since there's no question, I actually have one more that I'd like to ask our spokesperson. So you talked a lot about customer momentum. Can you elaborate a little bit more in terms of the number of customers?
We can. While we obviously don't announce on a weekly basis the exact quantity on a week by week, as I mentioned, a couple of weeks ago we announced we actually crossed the 1,000th customer milestone. And Ursha, correct me if I'm wrong, that was actually back a little bit earlier in the spring versus the exact dateline of the press release. To date, the increase we're seeing in customers and revenue are on the range of over 100 customers per month we are adding, and that number is actually continuing to grow. So we're very, very pleased and excited, if only briefly, given the competitive nature of the market, that we have actually been able to very, very quickly add, build this level of customer base as well as continue the growth. Just as a kind of comparison point, I believe WAN optimization and the WAS product line is one of the fastest adopted advanced technologies within Cisco, at least in the last several years.
Yeah, and I think even in terms of the net growth, as you benchmarked outside of the company, we are growing both in dollar terms and as well as percentage terms. I think we have the fastest rate of growth on both of those.
And we look forward, as we get a couple more quarters behind us, we will look forward to hopefully sharing our revenue numbers with you. Given the youngness of the product right now, we typically as a policy don't do that right away. So happy to take any questions or inquiries on market sizing with respect to our revenue and hopefully share some more discrete public numbers moving forward.
Great. Well, thank you very much for that information on customers. So I'm just going to do a last poll to see if there are any additional questions. Operator, can you please check one last time?
Of course. Yes, ma'am. We actually have a follow-up question from the line of Robin Leland of Leland Consulting. You may proceed.
This is a question again for Chris. You mentioned in your talk that you were concerned for security reasons because of the cache being on the other side of the firewall. If the cache in the disk was encrypted, would that alleviate your concern?
Yeah, I think it would. I think some of the maybe some confusion with the security guys is that they were assuming that these caches were sort of clear text documents being stored in the appliance. Now, for the majority of the devices, that's not necessarily the case. It's bit patterns, etc. So you would probably have a challenge to try and recreate some a document out of that by hacking that cache. There are products that do, for some applications, hold a complete file. if there was some encryption around that, that would make people, I think if we were to deploy a technology that held a cache, a full document cache, then we would probably be requested to disable that feature.
Does that answer your question, Robin?
Oh, yes, thank you.
Great, thank you. So I'm going to close the call in a few minutes, but I wanted to say thank you again, Mark and
OSHA,
for presenting to our analyst audience. We really appreciate your time, as well as a special thank you to our customer guests, Joe and Chris. If you have additional questions for follow-up, please contact Amal Nichols at amnichol@cisco.com. Also, as a quick reminder, we will be sending a survey to all of our participants shortly after the call, and I do want to thank in advance for your help in providing candid feedback. A replay information will also be included in the email in case you wish to share that information with your colleagues. So once again, thank you very much for participating in today's teleconference, a production of Cisco Systems Analyst Relations. Operator, please go ahead and close the call.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation in today's conference. This concludes the presentation. You may now disconnect and have a wonderful day.